Will you pray with me? Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you. May we be open and willing to receive whatever it is you'd want to speak to each one of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are in the second Sunday of a series called Living a Life of Gratitude. Now, gratitude means thankfulness, counting your blessings, noticing the simple pleasures in your life, acknowledging that everything that you receive, that's gratitude. Sometimes we just get things and receive things and we don't even know to give thanks for it because it's just the norm. Gratitude shifts our focus from what our life lacks to the abundance of everything that's greatly present, already present in our lives. Giving thanks makes people happier. It also makes them more resilient, strengthens relationships, improves health, and reduces stress. Now, I would say that that might be one of the best prescriptions you could ever get, and it's free. You don't have to go buy it. Reduces stress, makes us happy, improves our health. So last week we started with something we called the thank you habit. Studies have shown that when we have top of the mind awareness, if I told you all, hey, I want you to go out and see if you see some red Volkswagen bugs, you know what would happen? This week you would find some red Volkswagen bugs because we started talking about it, right? So the same is true last week when I said, if you're looking for places to say thank you, you will find those places in your life that are already present that we've missed, that we haven't said thank you. Very important. I gave you a couple of ways last week to kind of work on the thank you habit. The first one was to thank five people a day. How many people remembered and did that a little bit? Told people five people a day. What about write one letter a week? Did you write a note, a letter to somebody that said and said thank you? Amy, you're great at that. Okay, this week, one letter, just a thank you in a written note. Do a favor, something that doesn't, you know, you don't have to use your words, but that you're actually showing them that you support them and you love them. Then I also, we passed out, and there's still, we ran out last week because we had such a big crowd, but there are more in the back and in the front. We gave out thank you journals, and I asked you all to be prayerful and every day write down a little something that you were thankful to God for. Because we can forget to thank God. We might thank the person that brought us our meal, but we forget to thank God. So this is really important, and we have more. I want you to keep doing it. We're doing it all the way until Thanksgiving. Well, this week, we're talking about FOMO and JOMO. I asked the ladies over here before service when they were practicing, I said, do you all know what FOMO and JOMO is? And some of them said, I'm not too sure about that. And then I explained it to them. FOMO is the fear of missing out. If you saw Craig's shirt, my daughter has FOMO. Stand up and just give a little. I know she hates me for this. FOMO is real. The fear of missing out. And then JOMO is the joy of missing out. The purpose today, first off, how many people have FOMO? Raise them high. Okay. How many people have JOMO? Yeah. How many people have both? Yes, 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 yes. Here's the thing about FOMO and JOMO, and I just want to say one thing about JOMO before we go. A lot of times people use it as an excuse not to plug in. That is my sweet Craig Wilson. Oh, there he is in the back. He loves to say, I have so much JOMO about not coming to that event. He kind of uses it as an excuse. So anyway, the purpose today is to see how fear and anxiety and worry choke out the spirit of gratitude, and that we can also trust that God has got us, right? That FOMO, when we're always focused. In the red letter series that I did, you heard me say, I told you how Jesus said, do not worry. And it wasn't like a suggestion, it was a commandment. Do not worry, do not ever start worrying, because when we live from a place of security and thanksgiving and abundance, it's way more freeing and empowering than living from a place of scarcity, fear, or discontentment. So FOMO, the actual definition, is a pervasive apprehension that others might be having rewarding experiences from which one is absent or one is missing out on their life. Now, FOMO is not, it's a real phenomenon. I mean, it is. There are psychiatrists that have been talking about it because social media has increased it like crazy. But FOMO isn't new, and it's not unique or modern. It predates the acronym that was coined in 2004. It predates Wi-Fi. It predates smartphones. It's an ancient phobia from years and years ago that has been around forever before we were able to use our opposable thumbs to text people. It goes all the way back. If you look at Genesis, the very beginning, we see the serpent tempted Eve with what? An apple. And in this apple, Eve didn't want to miss out on being as smart as God. She thought, I'm missing out. I got to eat this apple, right? So that was part of it. She bit. She took a bite of it. Behind the very first sin was a desire for a different life. Eve wanted a different life than the one God had given her. Now, social media has accelerated it. It provides these situations. How many people are actually on a social media website? Facebook, Instagram, anything? Yeah, see, almost all of you. I know there are a few of my friends on that back row that are not on it. I told them they're actually blessed. Don't get on it. But here's what happens is, it gives us this situation where we're comparing our regular life to the highlights of other people's lives. Therefore, our sense of normal, what we think is normal, is skewed because we think we're doing a little less than or a little worse than the things we see. We start looking through an unrealistic lens. That can be hard, right? How many people really put up their worst moments on Facebook? Look, I'm holding my daughter's hair and she's throwing up in the toilet. Shh. No. We put up birthdays and celebrations and parties and all sorts of things. Rarely do we say, look, my daughter skinned her knee and there's blood everywhere. No, we don't. You think that's funny. But what happens is the fear of missing out, here's what it is. First, it's we fear we're missing opportunities. We can't do everything. We just cannot do everything. Every yes, and this is a good thing to know right before the holidays, every yes is a no to something else. When we're afraid of missing an opportunity, we need to remember where God has us in that day. It's just a season. It doesn't mean you won't be invited again or you won't do something again. We need to embrace contentment by discovering the joy in the specific season or day or month or whatever it is that God has us in. The next thing is we fear we lack true community. We really do. We look at everybody else, and I'll tell you, I have this big old family, and I'm sure people think, oh, look at her family. You know what? We have struggles too. We have things going on. But true community, God created us to belong. We crave relationships. Even if you're an introvert, you crave a relationship. It might not be with 100 people, but you crave being in relationship with somebody. Let's be honest, nothing provides that joy in the stressful, difficult moments of our lives than authentic connections. Authentic connections fill us where inauthentic, that can leave you feeling more empty, right? So make sure your connections are full. The next one is we feel useless or undervalued. God gave us each unique gifts and talents, each one of us, to serve the world in, to serve our communities. He offers opportunity for us to use our gifts. When we put our skills into action, we feel a sense of purpose, don't we? We know we're in that lane, that we're using our gifts, but we need to be careful in thinking that we only are valued when we're doing something for somebody else, when others need us. Truth is, our identity comes from God defining us through his love and the gifts he's given us. We don't need to look outside. Now, I don't typically get FOMO, but the people in my staff meeting said, tell them the things that are your triggers, because everybody has some trigger, right? So I've been single for about 17 years, and so I told my staff, I said, there are times where I'm looking on Facebook and I see this sweet couple on a fun date or off on an adventure or whatever, and I'm like, oh, I wish I was a couple. God says, you're still single, Meryl, for whatever reason. So those are things that attack me. So then I also want to say, years ago, I was getting ready for church, and I went on Facebook before church. That's kind of a bad thing, too. Got on there, and this was probably 15 years ago. And my friend Susie has this amazing mountain house. Gorgeous. She had been there for a month, and her husband was coming up. And I remember going, I want Susie's life. That looks really awesome. And I remember God saying, do you really want Susie's life? And I was like, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I want Susie's life. I want it. All of it. And then it hit me that my friend Susie, who I'd known for a very long time, had lost her high school son in a car accident years ago. I think what happens is we forget that everybody has tragedy and disappointment and challenges and heartbreaks. When we only see the good, I don't want Susie's life. I want my life, the life God gave me. I want that life, because when we don't stay grounded in the life God has given us, we lose sight of the blessings found there. We lose sight. The remedy is to take a moment and take stock of what we do have, what I do have. So let me tell you what JOMO is, the joy of missing out. JOMO is about understanding yourself, your needs, your desires, choosing to live in a way that energizes you. But to fully embrace JOMO, you have to understand what's driving the fear of missing out. It makes me think of those that peek over the fence sometimes and see what everybody else has. Well, there are weeds in every single lawn, even if you don't see them. Some weeds are green. But you have to choose. You have to choose. We will never get everything that we want. But what has been given is ours, and it's good. So JOMO encourages us to want what we want, why we want it, and how we're feeling about it. It directs our time and energy into activities that truly engage us, where we can be present and thankful. Regardless of what we're doing or what we're not doing, it's our intentions behind that that really matters. It's our deep intentions. The real problem is when we get so wrapped up in what it is that we're missing out on that we lose sight of it and we become anxious and fearful. So many times that happens when you're looking. You feel like you're missing out on life. So stay in your lane. This week, we're going to do another one of Paul's letters. Last week, we talked about a few that he wrote. He was a great letter writer. That's why I said, you guys write a letter this week. It encourages people. It tells them you love them. It, you know, shows them that they matter. This week, we're looking at the letter in Philippians. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. And he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Pray. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we are tempted to insist that we do it all, but that creates fear and anxiety. Paul is saying, do not worry. Do not become anxious. Do not do that. He's urging us to cultivate the ground around us, an attitude grounded in practice. When he says, then pray. Pray about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, lay your requests before God. Paul's not saying don't worry. There's nothing to worry about. And he's also saying what you're worried about is not important. Rather, he places our anxieties and our fears. And he's saying, put it in the context of your relationship with God. Your worries, your fears, your concerns. Put it in the context of your relationship with God. We are invited to be ourselves, to be who we are, to make ourselves known to God and to ourselves, to a great point of vulnerability. It was vulnerable for me to stand up here and say, yeah, I'll look at cute couples on Facebook and be like, oh, I want to be a couple, right? Vulnerable. But it's true. We all have those places. Furthermore, Paul says this, and I think this is very interesting with it being so close to Thanksgiving. We are told to do so, to do our prayers and petitions before we know the results. We have to say thanks just because God is present in our lives even before we know the results of what's going to happen. Thanksgiving in this way then becomes an expression of our openness to the process, realizing that we are supported and sustained by God. So FOMO is influenced by external factors, and most experts say you really need to look internally. Don't compare what's going on with other people. We can't do that. But as Christians, I would say we have to understand that Jesus has a purpose and a plan for each one of us individually, uniquely, that's ours. So when we're comparing, we're losing sight of what God has created us to be. There is no way, girls, that anyone would want me to come up here and sing. I don't have that gift. You guys are wonderful, but I want to know how many people want to come up here and talk and preach. Come on, is there a preacher out there? Yes! One, yes! I knew there was. Come see me afterwards. The point is that we all have unique gifts and talents, and we have to remember. We have to trust God to direct our steps. We have to trust God for his will in our lives individually and what he wants to do with us instead of worrying that we're missing out. That doesn't mean that we're going to get everything, but it does help with the FOMO. So Proverbs 14:30 says, "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy, jealousy, makes the bones rot." I think a lot of us are walking around with rotting bones when Jesus offers us a tranquil heart, a peace that we cannot understand. The one thing you should be fearful of missing out on is a true relationship, a life-giving relationship with Jesus. At the end, it takes a little bit of a process to get there, especially for the teens that have been doing social media their whole life. I remember some of my kids have said that their self-esteem goes down when they're looking at Instagram because they're comparing themselves with every single thing. That's exhausting. That is exhausting. But let me give you a few ways to bring a little healthy joy of missing out into your life. The first one is to reflect. Psalm 16 says, "Protect me, O God, I trust in you for safety. You are my God, all good things I have come from you. You, O Lord, are all I have, and you give me all I need. My future is in your hands. How wonderful are your gifts to me, how good are they?" So we take a step back and we pray, and we ask God to show us, to get some clarity on where our time's going and where our mental energy is going. Being intentional about focusing on what God's will is for your life. The next one is disconnect. You have to embrace unplugging. You have to take back, spend time with the Holy Spirit and listen. Downtime is fertile ground for gratitude to take root. If you turn things off and you start listening to what God wants to speak into your life, that gratitude goes really deep. And reconnect with yourself, with God, with those you care about. Spending time in meaningful ways helps us to stop worrying about the other things people are doing. It might be one person. You might want to hang out with 20. I don't know. But make it meaningful, because joy is found living in the present. We should not waste time or wait to be happy until we've gotten that dress our friend went or got invited to that party or any future event, anything, only to discover that joy was always available to us, always ready, all the time. "This is the day the Lord hath made." The psalmist wrote that. Come on, you guys, rejoice and be glad in it and give thanks. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.